world is no more, every saint and sinner will confess that you are Lord. Some will kneel as children, some as conquered foes, but all will bow before our great God. Earthly kings and kingdoms rise and have their day. Like a mist, they linger, then forever fade away. Get this part. There is none so mighty, not one that compares to your majesty and glory. Lord, the universe declares that you are the one true God, the King who reigns on high. My friends, that is power. There is no one as powerful as the one true God that you and I had the privilege of knowing and serving and being loved by. So this morning, as we get started thinking about the power of the one true God, I want to kick off our preaching time by asking you quickly, because we don't have a lot of time and there's a lot to get through. We're thinking about the omnipotence of God. Excuse me. But quickly, shout out for me some of your favorite Bible, and I really hate the word stories, but anyway, for lack of a better term, biblical accounts that declare the power or demonstrate the power of God. Yeah, in the beginning, God created. Out of nothing, he spoke it all into existence. In the fiery furnace, no matter what, O king, if our God decides to deliver us, he can do that. If he decides not to, that's okay. But let us know that he is powerful enough to do that. Esther, yeah, wow. Here's man coming up with a plot to eliminate the people of God. And this man was not some chump who didn't have any power. He was like the second most powerful man in the world at the time. He built a set of gallows to hang the Jewish people on. Well, God in his power turned the tables and ended up hanging Haman and his family on those gallows and getting the glory of it all. And that really, that's the idea of the power of God. God gets the glory every time. What else? Sorry? John 3:16, for God so loved, and then if you compare that with Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us, and as a result of his dying on the cross, we have been redeemed, we have been reconciled to the one true God. Yeah. David and Goliath. Who killed Goliath? Careful. Yeah, God. God used a little stone to kill maybe the strongest man in the world at the time. Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit in our message this morning. Christ together and read this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to jump to a passage in the New Testament as well that speaks of the power of our great and powerful God. So let's stand together as we read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31, and then Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Oh, wow. You may be seated. Doesn't that just, I mean, almost gives you goosebumps, doesn't it, to think about the power of our great God. So as we look at verse 28 of Isaiah chapter 40, you know what we see there? We see, if you will, breaking news. Breaking news. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was little, I hated to watch the news. But now, I'm not obsessed by it, but I almost always have the news channel on at home. But you know what? Go ahead and go to that next slide, Ryan. I don't think that that means today what it meant when I was growing up. Okay? You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I'm going to tell you that the birth of a celebrity's baby or marriage, it's not breaking news. But oftentimes, it's breaking news. Or even what a celebrity has to say is really not breaking news. But we have breaking news. Now, when I was little, even though I didn't like the news, in fact, when I would walk into the house and if the news was on, you see, we were only allowed to watch so much TV during the week. And when I would see the news on, I thought in my mind, wow, what a waste of TV time. What a waste of TV. Can't we put something else on the TV besides that? And I mean, we had classic. We actually had news reporters in our day. I mean, who can remember Walter Cronkite and you were there? You know, Paul Harvey. I used to love to listen to Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey and the rest. Now you know the rest of the story. I mean, but not just the rest of the story. Paul Harvey's news and comments used to come on our radio station at 12 o'clock every day. And I tried hard not to miss it because I thought he had a unique take on the news. And when you got the news from Paul Harvey, you got a good perspective on the news. But he told you it's Paul Harvey's news and comments. You knew what the news was and you knew what his comments were. But you see, breaking news should be something that is almost life-changing. I'll tell you a breaking news thing that I will never forget is I was in high school. I was just finishing up gym class. We were in the locker room, and the gym teachers would often have the TV on or the radio playing, and the day President Reagan was shot. Breaking news. Assassination attempt on President Reagan. And man, all of us were gathered around the coach's room trying to hear and figure out what was going on. Another breaking news is when the space shuttle blew up. Wow. Those, my friends, are breaking news. Today's breaking news, not so breaking, not so, maybe it's disappointing, maybe breaking in that sense of the word, okay? But breaking news, we've got some breaking news, and that's what Isaiah is saying. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Listen, my friends, this is have you not heard? Now, remember this, that much of the Jewish learning took place by way of verbal communication. They taught their children in their homes by the things they said, the things that had been communicated to them from their parents, they passed on to their children. So it was a verbal kind of communication. Have you not heard? Of course they had heard. Not only did they hear it in their homes, but they heard it in the communities. They heard it in other places. They heard about the power of God. Again, Barnes gives us some helpful insight. He says, a large part of the knowledge of the Jews was traditionary, and these attributes of God as a faithful God had no doubt constituted an important part of the knowledge which they had thus been communicated to them. God had certainly made himself known to the children of Israel and the children of Judah. There was no excuse, there was no reason for them to have not known about, and in fact, have not known intimately, the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. They certainly knew. Have you not heard? Have you not known? Yes, the answer is, you have known. What is it that Isaiah wants them to be absolutely certain of? Well, it's the awesome character of the one true God. He says that he is the everlasting God, the one and only God that existed in eternity past before time began. And since God existed in eternity past, his plans, his purposes, his ways will be brought to pass, and nothing and no one can thwart them, can stop them. It's not possible for the plans of God to be put on hold or to be stopped by mankind or any other force outside of himself. He is a God of awesome character. Not only is he the everlasting God, he is the Lord. Now, if anybody should have known about the Lord, it would have been the people of Judah and those people of Israel, the northern kingdom that had already been taken into captivity. Why would they know about the Lord? If you take a look in your copy of the scriptures, you'll see that it's that all caps Lord, right? It's Jehovah God. It's Yahweh, if you will. It's the covenant-keeping God. It's the God who said to Abraham, get out of Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. They are a great nation. We just saw about the crossing of the Red Sea. Probably close to 1 million people crossed at the Red Sea crossing. They were indeed a great nation. That's why Egypt feared them. Well, we can't let this people remain, because if we do, they might take over Egypt. God kept the promise. Jehovah, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. And you know what? There's countless numbers of promises in the scriptures that you and I benefit from and can take to heart and can live out our lives based on those promises. He is the one who, when he makes a promise, keeps the promise. And nothing can prevent his promises from being fulfilled. So he's the everlasting God. He's the Lord. And Isaiah goes on to say, he's the creator of the ends of the earth. Now, this is a very beautiful time in which we live, in the area in which we live as well. You know, these awesome colors didn't happen by chance. Didn't happen by evolution. It happened by the ordaining power of God, that we would be able to enjoy the splendor. And if you haven't taken the drive to enjoy the foliage, you need to do that. Get in the car, go for a ride, put the kids in the car, go for a ride. Let them see God's handiwork. I'm going to tell you, this year has been amazing. Better than perhaps all the other years in which we've lived in this area. You know what we're seeing here? The heavens declare the glory of God. They're shouting! Look at God's power! Look at God's ability. Look at what God can do with trees. If he can do that with trees, think about what he can do with you and I. Isn't that amazing? The creator of the ends of the earth. What Isaiah is saying here when he talks about the creator of the ends of the earth, he's saying the one responsible for bringing the earth and everything about or related to the earth, and the universe, will certainly have no problem carrying says that God neither faints. That's the first thing that says, wow. Now, you might say, I've never fainted. Well, I don't think I ever have either. But my oldest son did in a church service. We stood up to sing songs, and all of a sudden, Josh just goes, whoop, and he was gone. Fortunately, there was a guy behind him who caught him and set him down in the chair. But he just, boom, gone. And he was a young man. Shouldn't have fainted. Get this. The doctor said it was because of growing pains. We laughed, and he says, don't laugh. Growing pains are real. Okay, doc, that's what you say. God never faints. He's not one that can even be fatigued. He's never worn out. He never needs to rest or regain his strength. Let me share with you one of a quote from, again, you would appreciate reading some of the stuff by A.W. Tozier. He said this about the omnipotence of God. He says, since God has at his command all the power in the universe, the Lord God omnipotent can do anything as easily as he can do anything else. All of his acts are done without effort. He expends no energy that must be replenished. His self-sufficiency means it's unnecessary for him to look outside of himself for a renewal of strength. All the power required to do all that he wills lives in him in undiminished fullness. Whew. That's quite impressive. That's worthy of worship, isn't it? And we could all say, amen. Praise God for his omnipotence. Isaiah goes on to say, not only doesn't he faint, but he says, nor now is he weary. The word weary means to be exhausted after putting in serious energy and effort to complete a task. Have you ever worked really, really hard at a particular task and then be completely spent, totally worn out? I'm sure you have. That's not the way you do every day's work. But I'm sure there have been times in your life where you had a hard time putting one foot in front of the other. You were just so absolutely tired and worn out. We can identify with somebody who is weary. Guess what? God never gets that way. And you know what? God does a lot more. Let's use the word day because that's what we identify with. But God does a lot more in the course of a day than you and I could do in 10 lifetimes. Think about all that God does. He cares for every believer in the world all at the same time. He makes sure that every person on the face of the planet has oxygen to breathe. I mean, we can't even fathom that. Not only does he care for every believer and provide for every person on mankind, on the face of the earth to have oxygen to eat, but he keeps the whole world, the whole universe operating as it must so it doesn't spin out of control. You know, when we have work days here at church, sometimes I feel like I'm out of control because somebody says, Pastor, I need this to do that. Pastor, I need this. Where's this, Pastor? Pastor, can you... And the deacons, they do a lot of work to get everything ready ahead of time. But still, people are saying, hey, Pastor, I need this. Pastor, where can I find this? Pastor, sometimes it's like, I don't know. Ask so-and-so. And that's just a work day. God keeps the world in control, spinning just as it ought to be at the right speed. If it was just off, just, a little tiny bit, things would be out of control. Just thinking about those few things reminds us, wow, God is awesome. If I just spent a lot of time thinking about that, I might get worn out. But God actually does it. Isaiah says his understanding is unsearchable. Now, mankind is incapable of figuring God out. We can spend days, weeks, years trying just kind of takes your breath away? Maybe the announcement of your first grandchild. And maybe just complicate that just a little bit by saying that maybe the doctor said they would never have grandchildren. Or children, sorry. Not their grandchildren, it's your grandchildren. And maybe the doctor said they can't have babies. So you kind of had resolved to that situation in life. And then all of a sudden they come and they share with you, hey, guess what? We're going to have a baby. I bet you that has never happened to us. But I bet you it kind of takes your breath away. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's just amazing kind of stuff. What Isaiah is about to communicate to the followers of God is really quite amazing. In fact, it gives us great hope to those who have gone all in on trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and trusting God to do what he says he will do. When we read about the ministry of Jesus in the Gospels, many of those that have followed Jesus followed him because they knew he was the Son of God. They knew he was the Messiah. They knew that he could do what no one else could do. He could make their hope. He could take their hopelessness and turn it into great hope. He could take their lives that were broken and full of despair and turn them into lives with purpose and promise. Isaiah says this, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does God do for his followers, those who love him and want to be obedient to him? He empowers those in need of strength. Perhaps you can identify with verse 29 when Isaiah talks about those who are weak and those who have no might. Have you ever felt that you had no strength left and that you couldn't take another step even if your life depended on it? Well, there's good news. God gives power to the weak and he increases the strength of those who are out of might. It's kind of like how, those of us who like to work on things, you have a cordless drill and you're drilling, you're working on a project. And, you know, these new lithium batteries, they don't give you any warning. They just die. And isn't it like the most inopportune time that they die? You're up on a ladder two stories up and all of a sudden your drill dies. Oh, man. You got to go back down the ladder. Maybe if you have another battery that's already charged, you can get that other battery. But if you can't, you're done. You just can't do anymore because the battery died. I need to get another cordless drill. Mike and I were at the Home Depot the other day, and I said, listen, I want to get this kind because I already have one like that with two batteries, and to get another one of a different kind would mean that my batteries don't work in that one. Dave and I were talking about this too the other day. So I just need to get another one of those kinds of drills. And Mike says, no, Dad, you just need to get one of these batteries. And it's a big battery, 5-amp battery. So, like, well, no, I want another drill. And I'll get another battery with the other drill. Now I have three batteries, and three batteries at 2 hours each equals 6 hours, which is more than five. You know, yeah, you can figure it out, right? But when you're using that drill, you don't want it to be dead. You want it to be alive. Sometimes we feel like that drill. But Isaiah says, God is the charger. God empowers you. God gives you the strength that you need. God is our battery, and he gives us more strength, more power when we feel like our power is just all gone. God gives us more. Thank you, God, for empowering us when we need it. And you know what? He empowers us probably when we even think we don't need it. What else does he do? Well, Isaiah says he energizes the weak. You see the picture that Isaiah is painting for us here? How many times have you and I, or maybe those that are a little bit older than you and I, when we're watching our grandchildren or somebody else's children Isaiah says, the youths faint and the young men become weary. Those two groups of people never seem to run out of energy. But those of us who are parents and have had children, you remember those times when zoom, there they go by you. And then all of a sudden it gets really quiet in the house. And you're wondering, why is it so quiet? It shouldn't be that quiet around here. And you start looking for that seemingly endless ball of energy, only to find them laying on the floor fast asleep. Even they run out of energy. Even they faint from, not faint, but they need to be strengthened. They need to be renewed. It rarely happens, but it does happen. The good news is not with our great God. Our God never runs out of stamina, and he never runs out of the ability to give us the energy that we need. The good news is that in our weariness, we can call on the infinite God, the creator of the universe. He energizes the weary. Now, the last verse of this chapter tells us what happens when we cry out to this infinite God. And I had to make up a word here, but it's a good word. He eagleizes those that wait on him. Did you catch that? He eagleizes. Look at that last verse. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see the word but there that opens up that sentence? But kind of is the key that turns the passage here. Isaiah is writing and challenging the Israelites or the people of Judah to repent, to turn away from the ways of their fathers and their forefathers. And he says, repentance, you need the strength of God to repent. Repentance, my friends, can be wearisome. It can wear you out. But Isaiah tells us what we need to do. Wait on the Lord. Look at the amazing things that happen when one waits on the Lord. Their strength is renewed. It has the idea of taking something that has decayed and lost its vitality and reviving it, bringing it back to life. God can renew our strength. Again, Barnes has a good explanation. He says, it means that the people of God who trust in him shall become strong in faith, able to contend with their spiritual foes, to gain the victory over their sins, and to discharge aright the duties, and to meet aright the trials of life. When you feel like you can't do any more for God, God energizes you. God renews your strength. God encourages you to go on for him. Mel Walker, we had him come and speak. He's written several books, and one of his books recently is Going On for God, encouraging the young people, the millennial generation, to go on for God. But you know what? If we're going to encourage them to go on for God, you and I must continue going on for God. We can't retire. We can't quit. We can't say, well, I did that when I was younger, so let somebody else take the mantle and run with it. Hey, if God's equipping you to do it, you should do it. Don't just say, let the younger generation take over. Let's work together, the younger generation and the older generation, to do what God wants us to do, to accomplish the tasks that God has set out before us. How amazing is it that God gives us continued and renewed strength to do the things he's called us to do? He takes us from hopelessness, when we've run out of the strength and the energy we need, to making us soar on eagle's wings. Go ahead, say it. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus, for the strength that you give to me to serve you. Well, that's breathtaking news. Let's go on to the brilliant news of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now, I have to tell you that this word brilliant kind of took on new was beyond good. It actually brought a sparkle to his eyes and a smile to his face when he talked about something that was brilliant. So we move forward to the writings of the Apostle Paul, and we're going to see something that is brilliant, something that reminds us that the power of the one true God is available to those who know him. As we look at this brilliant news in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we're going to see that there is something unique about our God who is near to us. Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." What's unique about our great God? What's unique about the one true God? That he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now this phrase here is the beginning of a doxology that builds upon itself, and it just keeps getting better and better and better. Paul says, God is able to do. That's pretty self-explanatory, right? You may know the words from the song that was written in the 60s, sang in the 70s. He is able, I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. God is able. He's able to do. You can fill in the blank. Well, actually, let me fill it in for you. He is able to do anything he desires to do. Our God is able to do. And then Paul says, he is able to do exceedingly. He adds to what he's able to do. He's able to do exceedingly. In other words, over and above. If you need this, God can do over and above this. He's able to do more than enough. Aren't you glad that so often when God meets our needs, he meets them abundantly, more than we could ask for? Well, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. You know what that means? That means super abundantly, over the top, more than you can even imagine. Something that makes you say, wow. God, that's amazing. You blew me away with that. He goes on. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. So more than just over the top, you know what that is? It's completely excessive. That's what it means. Exceedingly abundantly above. Completely excessive. Anything we ask or think, if we can think of it, it's not a problem. It's not difficult for God to do. He's able to do things that we can't even think of. You getting the picture? Our God is, to put it mildly, only God is awesome. Only the works that God does can be awesome. He's unique. But not only is he unique, God, the God that is near to us, is unequaled. Dave mentioned the resurrection. Paul says that God is able to do things according to the power that works in us. There is no power like this power that Paul is talking about. What's the power that is at work in us? Well, listen to how Paul puts it over earlier in Ephesians chapter 1. He says this about the amazing power of God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is, get this, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, this is a demonstration of his mighty power, verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Oh, wow. That is power. You know, we sing that song, there's power in the blood. How many powers can you get in there? My grandma used to, I remember, I used to look at her when there's some more power. We won't even get into that this morning. The power of God is unequaled. There's nothing like it. And then listen to this last part of the verse. Our near God will uphold his children. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. And we could add about 25,000 more evers onto that. Amen. God is able to give glory to himself through the church by Jesus Christ in all the generations. From the beginning of the church to the time that Jesus comes to take the church home. This is great power. And it was not only for the Ephesians in the first century church, but it's at work in and through us today. And we'll continue to work in the church, the body of Christ, which he has called to reach the world through him until he comes back. You've heard me say before, the people have said to me, Pastor, I think God's done with the church. Nonsense. God is not done with the church. When God finishes with the church, when he's done with the church will be no more. The church will be in his presence. And only then will he be done with the church. And then for us, it just begins. You see, God is at work in the church and will continue to be at work in the church until the day of Jesus Christ. I remember telling people that nothing's going to happen to us today that God and I can't handle together, with the emphasis being on God. There's lots of times things happen in my life that I can't handle. I don't know what to do. And I cry out to God, God, help me. God, show me what to do. God, give me wisdom. God, give me grace. God, I just don't know what to do. And God gives those things to his children. It's great to know that God's omnipotence is at work in us and for us and through. And why? So that he might be glorified in and through us. I've been enjoying Stephen Lawson as he teaches on the attributes of God. In the conclusion of his lesson on the attributes of God, he makes this statement. Let us be encouraged. Let us be strengthened as we consider the greatness of his power. No prayer request is beyond his ability to answer it, except it measure in with his perfect will. And there is found in our weakness perfect strength to do everything that is within the will of God that he calls us to do. Sometimes, he goes on to say, sometimes we say, I just don't think I can do